Okay, the recording started, so the people who can't be here will be able to hear our conversation. So with that, we'll have a few chimes, I'm sure, interrupting as we go with people entering the conference. I should figure out how to turn that off. But while I'm doing that, fire away with your questions.
My question is, why is content factoring into the selection process in the first place?
And who is this?
Hi,
Charlie. Okay, let me step back. The reason content is factoring in, two reasons. This will be a, you know, Startup 50 is shifting into being a more active content site. You know, in the past, I used it for my, I used it for kind of overflow stuff when I was writing for other pubs. And I've stopped doing work for third-party pubs for a number of reasons. So why content factors into selection? So imagine, take a second and put yourself in my position. I've been evaluating startups for probably about 20 years. And even if I do, say, a roundup of 10 startups for a network world or CIO or whatever, I would still, and let's say it's 10 startups in a narrow field, not like the big 50 that's just startups, you know, you could be anything. So let's say I'm just doing cloud startups or security startups. To pick my top 10, I'm still going to evaluate probably anywhere between 75 and 100 startups. As you can imagine, you work with startups. You know, one of the things they do is try to find inefficiencies and push them out of systems. That's one way you compete with monopolies. So myself, looking at all these other startup roundups, I for a long time, I've liked doing it, but the you know, especially as journalism, there's such downward price pressure on journalism, I can't keep doing it the old way. So I've done a bunch of things. You know, I did the voting for a while, and that was limited. So why am I doing content? Very specifically, it's in my wheelhouse. And it's also, when I look at startups, I found two things that I'm, you know, better at evaluating than other people, and that's their ability to connect with the pain points of their customers. You know, I can evaluate whether you understand the problems or not pretty quickly. That's why I ask you about that and emphasize that all the time. If you don't understand your customers, if you don't know where they hang out, if you don't know why they would abandon, you know, somebody else, some vendor they have an existing relationship for you, I'm really skeptical. You know, I am really skeptical. And the other thing I use content for is, you know, I believe startups have to tell good stories. If you're going to be able to succeed, you can't just understand your clients, your potential prospects. You have to know how to motivate them. You have to understand how to persuade them. Now, I could spend hours digging through every one of your sites to do that, but then I would have to have a whole different business model. So by getting you to pitch content, I'm going to build content for the site so that rather than having an inactive site while the selection process is going on, it becomes more of a live site. So basically, whenever you're in the Big 50 system, you could be there as long as you want. Maybe you don't make it into the Big 50 this year, but you know, you'll still be eligible for opportunities. People in the Big 50 will get different ones, but it really comes down to evaluation. And then there's the other thing. Let's be honest. Every single one of these startup roundups, let's go back even further than that. Every VC investment has a great deal of subjectivity to it. So when I'm looking at so what I'm trying to do is kind of take my selection process in a different direction. So that which is kind of a raw data point, like funding, now let's, you know, you either raised money or you didn't. So there are a few data points that kind of stand on their own. Funding, customer win, on the record customers, things, what else? There's funding on the record customers and the track record of your team are three things that are as objective as you can get. You know, they're not completely objective. But if I'm going to take and then there's still, you have to evaluate startups beyond those metrics. So if I'm going to evaluate startups, I should have my selection process be closer to my strengths, be more in my wheelhouse. And so that's why I'm doing it. And there's another reason. The other reason is I intend that the business model of my site's still evolving. It'll probably have some software. It'll have some workshops and things. But a lot of PR people have, not a lot, a couple have complained about, you know, the amount of work that this process entails. And that's true, and that's partly by design. You know, one of the easiest ways to select 50 startups is to have them select themselves. So attrition makes my process more inefficient. It makes it less efficient on your end, but more efficient on my end. Now, how could you, on your end, flip that so this inefficient process becomes something more valuable for you? And that's to think of it systematically. Think of it as process-driven. If you are not looking at story opportunities like this and you have a solid process in place to pitch those opportunities, you're not serving your client very well. Or if you're a startup and you're not doing that, either you're not ready for PR and I wonder why you're in this competition, or you should have PR doing that for you. It's a gap in your marketing. If you're not doing this regularly every week, if you're not pitching stories every week, I'm not sure. Maybe you were brought on for something different. Maybe it's too early, but you need to get there and you need to have a system in place. So a lot of the things I do, I kind of assume, and it's a stupid assumption to make, but I kind of assume that you're in the process of building content systems and processes, and these will tie in with that. If they don't, it's an opportunity for you. Does that answer your question, or did I leave out something that maybe you'd like me to go into more depth about?
I'm wondering what happens to the pitches after you evaluate them.
They turn into – it depends. It depends how I feel. So it depends what I get. So after I pick my favorite pitches, then I'm going to contact those people, interview them, and I'm going to work up content. Now, I'm keeping a very open mind to what that content will be. Maybe it'll be audio. Maybe it'll be a straight story like I used to do for Network World or what have you. It'll be content. And then the ones that don't get used – they're released back to you. If you guys want to do blog posts with them, whatever. They then become yours. You know, the ones that don't get published, they just get ranked. So I will rank them evaluation-wise to choose the startups, and then that's it. They just get ranked. Now when I say that, I should note that one thing I've always done as a reporter is you always have your overflow file, the ones that didn't quite make it but were still pretty good, but maybe the fit just wasn't right because, I don't know, the angle was going going a little sideways from the story angle I wanted to pursue or what have you. I mean, seriously, a lot of pitches don't get accepted, not because they were bad pitches, but because just the, you know, right time, right place type of thing, or just they didn't mesh as well with the others. But also, and sometimes that's an advantage. Sometimes you want that other point of view. But sometimes maybe it would seem like a tangent with all the other stuff. So yeah, I would certainly keep the stuff around. But if I'm going to publish stuff about your startup, then you're the point of contact. Whoever sent me that pitch, that's who I follow up with. So if I'm going to run any contact, you're going to know it because I'll be following up with you. Make sense?
Yeah.
But what it is it going to be a podcast? Is it going to be this? I'm experimenting with those things, and then those are going to be driven by what happens on site. You know, what are people flocking to? What are people ignoring? You know, so I'm kind of mirroring how I'm taking Startup 50 with how the startups I've consulted with in the past, you know, run out MVP products and stuff. So I apologize that I can't give you more concrete answers, but I'm not going to get wedded to a plan that may not work. You know, I'm going to take that MVP mindset of trying stuff out, getting back some as much instant feedback as I can through whatever, social media sharing, site visits, you know, whatever it happens to be, my email marketing metrics, all that kind of stuff. Part of this is me building part of why I'm so open on not necessarily being just a strict text-based story writer as I have been in the past is, you know, I want to become a more data-driven journalist, and I want Startup 50 as I continue to bring more people in to be a more data-driven organization. Now, I know data-driven has all, you know, when you say that, it's a buzzword, People don't know what it means. It has all kinds of pitfalls and problems. But I'm a big believer in more information is better than less. And the more noise you can grind out of that information, the better. So, I mean, that's another way to look at what I'm doing is I'm trying to grind as much noise out of the process as possible. And, you know, some things work, some things don't. You know, last year, for instance, I tried to have the vote be what really selected everybody or as many or a big chunk of them, and there was just too much fraud. So that's why this year I changed the bar for the vote to, like, super low stakes. You were either, you know, it just weeded out. Basically the bottom fifth, you know. So who did it weed out? It weeded out the startups that just weren't engaged, didn't do anything, you know, probably didn't even send out one email or put out a single tweet or anything. And and that's good because, you know, if they don't really value the process, then they should get out of there. A million and one opportunities out there. So get out of the way for people who want to go along for the ride and who feel this kind of, real-time experimentation is something that maybe is something that could help them if they're a part of it. So that's what I'm doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Great. Thanks. Thanks a lot for that. I bet that's probably what a lot of people wanted to ask. What else do we have here? I got some emails too. If there are pauses in the action, so what else would people like to ask about?
Hi, this is Jessica, and thanks so much for setting this up. I had a question about the actual content itself.
Yep.
So a lot of the prompts are obviously pretty, you know, thought leadership focused, and it's the future of all of this. And my client's leaning towards kind of using themselves as a proof point to, you know, why their thesis is potentially going to be come true. I steer them away from kind of more of this self-serving, for lack of a better word,
content?
That's
a tricky one. Which one are you going for?
The future
of startups. Okay, I'll tell you, of the three, I think the one that makes the most sense, I got one from, I'd have to look it up, but from one startup who, the one I think that makes the most sense to use yourself as a case study is the future of Silicon Valley. And the reason I say that is because, one of the good ones is people who either, you know, their VCs tried to get them to move there and they resisted it, or they did and then they shuttered that office. Or I had one startup that moved their HQ from Silicon Valley to Salt Lake or someplace. I forget what it was. Those make sense. I mean, those you are you're the only case study that makes sense. You know what I mean? Some of the other ones, you know, then you're maybe follow. Just be careful. I'm not going to say no, but for the future of work, and let's say it's the future of startups. Future of startups, it's relevant, but yeah, if you're already doing it, you know, are you doing X, Y, and Z? And then just try to make sure you're looking at yourself kind of like a case study and not as, hey, look at us, we're so awesome, because you do run the risk of falling into that look at us startup trap, you know, where you're not really engaging the outside world. It's very insular. But for those two anyway, I think it makes sense. For the future of work, I think maybe you'd want to, if that's one, you'd want to stay a little more vendor neutral. But for Silicon Valley and future startups, you know, the whole process is changing. If you've gone through a process that's different, then, yeah, it ends up becoming like, here's my story, you know, and that makes perfect sense.
Okay. Thank you. That makes sense.
Just be aware of the pitfalls. Be aware of the pitfalls. And, you know, a good marketing rule is if you know the pitfalls, figure out, you know, your audience. You know, this is an old sales tactic. Know the objections ahead of time so you can address them right there, you know. So if you're aware of that, if you're aware that it's potentially too insular, you know, how are you going to overcome that objection in your pitch?
Got it. Thank you. Great feedback.
You bet. You bet. What else? What other questions do we have? Okay, well, while people are thinking of their questions, let me answer an email question that came in, and it asked about how the content process is going to play out larger, because there's a second one. So I'm doing two content challenges for a reason. One, not everybody will. I tried to get those three, you know, future work, future Silicon Valley, future startups. I tried to get them broad enough, yet still interesting enough, still trends, still something people care about, but broad enough that all the startups in the competition are a fit, you know, so you're all competing together. The next challenge is going to be you're competing in your kind of umbrella space, whether that's cloud or security or AI or whatever. It's going to be more niche specific. So I want to give you a chance. I really, you know, the first challenge gives me a chance to kind of put you through the ropes a little bit. The second one then is going to be more like what you'd pitch to a Harrow or whatever, you know, more stories you're probably pitching every day. But then you're going to have gone through the formula. Now, that doesn't mean these first ones are of interest to me. You know, one of the things I'm debating about doing with them, if the interviews all go well and everything, I've got some URLs and everything to potentially do startup podcasts. You know, if I feel like the interviews are popping and they're tight enough and it's not going to take me, you know, 3 weeks to edit the things to get them into the shape I want, then that's a possibility, you know. So I like the idea of the broad trends that are, and that kind of show. And of course, you can imagine the URL I bought up was Future Of. So I have an idea for a podcast like that, and I'll just test it out. We'll see how it goes. The other ones then are more like the way those of you who've worked with me in the past have. You know, they're more specific to issues that people in the trenches are dealing with every day in whatever your space happens to be. But I want to get you telling me stories, pitching me compelling ideas, not warmed over press releases that nobody read, or not, you know, just whatever stale thing your CEO is telling you to pitch that you know is a terrible story idea. I'll tell you right now, I probably only got about 10% of what I'll get in, or maybe a little more than that. But the pitches that have come in already, and I probably only have 15 or 20 for the first challenge. I think most people are waiting till after the call. They are an order of magnitude better than what I would get on a Harrow, just significantly better. Even the ones that I'm like, iffy, a little too much about you, or kind of misses the point or whatever, they would still be in the top 10% of Harrow pitches. You know, Harrow, the signal-to-noise ratio is terrible. Already I'm seeing that. Now, look, this is a longer process. You're getting to know me. You know, Harrow's not designed to do something like this. But, you know, I also see for my business model, dealing with Harrow's inefficiencies is not designed for a writer like me. It just doesn't work, you know. So I, on my end anyway, I'm already seeing much stronger pitches. People with questions who sent in a pitch and like, I have questions about it, blah, blah, blah. They're so much better than the median pitch on Harrow. So great work, everyone. Everyone who's started doing things, you're going in the right direction, and I appreciate that. It's going to make my life easier. It's going to maybe make ranking the stories a little tougher, but hey, that's for me to worry about. Other questions? So go ahead.
I have a question just about length. How long are these submissions? How many words?
Okay, it's right in the form. So I ask you basically just to give me a headline and a 150-word pitch. So the format I have, I'm teaching you how I pitch my editors. When I pitch my editors, When I pitch my editors, I send them a snappy headline, and then the story. And usually I send them like three ideas to pick from. You know, that just tends to be better, especially if I know them. I keep them short, and it's basically every one of those ideas could, maybe with a little tweaking, it gives kind of like a mini outline, but then also it's really the first paragraph they read about it. It could be the first paragraph of the story. And then I usually give a little bit more of where I'll take it from there. That's it. So yeah, the form will tell you right away, you know, headline, and then, you know, write your lead or your hook paragraph. And I ask you to keep it under 150 words. The form doesn't cut you off or anything. I mean, I got a lot that are bigger than that. So yeah, really it shouldn't take you very long. And don't worry if you go long on the thing. I had a couple people in there. There's an additional comment field, too, just if there's anything else that didn't fit, you can tell me about that. And I had a couple people ask about whether there are going to be length issues. And, no, look, if I'm looking at a block of text that goes on for a mile long, just understand how the human mind works. You know, how are you going to get my eyes to go through that? You know, how are you going to get me to just not say, oh, geez, if they can't boil it down less than that, you know, they're in trouble. You know, so think of the, so you might want to keep those kind of psychological triggers in mind of how people approach the written word and big blocks of text and stuff like that. Make sense?
Yep.
Anyway, what I'm trying to show you here is, you know, you guys will see the pitches that go, that work. You'll see the stories come out. And if the PR people in the startups who get the ones that I accept are willing, you know, we'll have another call where I talk about what I liked and why I picked them on down the line. Assuming everyone agrees to it, you know, I'm not going to put people up for dissection without their approval. But I assume most people would be happy to do it, considering that it would be these would be the ones that I liked the most. So, but the thing I'm trying to show you is I'm just one writer, but I'm just one journalist. But you know what, my approach as a journalist works with a lot of editors. So I'm trying to show you how I do it. You know, and hopefully that'll make your life easier for all your content pitches. What else? What other questions do we have? Okay, another, let me then jump back to emails. Another question I had was why I don't put out a calendar and reveal more about the process as I go along. That's kind of a forced move, to be honest. You know, and the reason is, number one, I didn't have a calendar in the past because this was an overflow project. I was always doing 25 other things while I was doing this, but this has just gained a bigger head of steam. So in the past, it was just because I had to fit this in around other stuff. Now it's because, look, each year there's something comes up. You know, like last year it was fraud in the vote. This year it's actually just been people having questions with the process or needing new time. So actually this year, to be honest, it's the flow and other processes have been, other roadblocks have been internal that you haven't seen. You know, I had a writer go get a different job and had one other person move. So, you know, some of those things have nothing to do with you. But the other reason I keep the process a little open-ended is because I just don't know what I'll get. You know, I'm tweaking the formula every year, and I plan to keep doing that for a few reasons. And as you tweak the formula and make it better, you're just not sure what that will turn into. What will that translate into? You know, so we're pretty far along, and you know, and I feel like the lineup's more solid than it's been, and I'm getting good stuff. The pitches coming in are already better than they're already exceeding my expectations. So, you know, that by keeping it a bit open-ended, it gives me kind of room to maneuver, and it lets me change things, lets me, you know, hey, lets me do things like when I forget to factor in Labor Day or whatever, you guys get on board and tell me about it, and we tweak things. So part of it's just because I'm not necessarily sure how things will change as we go along, and I only have a loose roadmap in place. Part of it's also, and this is the darker part of it, is, you know, startups by nature are trained to find those areas where those hacks, those exploits, those ways to take advantage of various systems. That's what they do. I don't necessarily want to discourage that, but I also don't want to let that blow up my process. So by not giving them a lot of time to think about ways to disrupt the system, it seems to be a smoother process. And it's usually this is out of your hands too. I assume most of the people on this call are PR and marketing people. These tend to be, you know, when the engineers get their hands on stuff, when the programmers and stuff like that get their hands on things and decide, yeah, I'm going to write this vote exploit or what have you. So So yeah, it just there are a few reasons. Would I like to get it down to a more solid thing eventually? And I think when this becomes a more live entity, starting in the fall, where it's you're going to see daily and weekly content. Then I think the daily weekly calendars and routines then will translate into larger, the yearly routine for the startups and all that. But right now that's still working on that, all that stuff. That's still being MVP'd as we speak. Other questions? Any other questions? Okay, well, if that's it, thanks, everyone, for coming. I hope this gives you some clarity. If I didn't answer your question, or if you're like me and you think about five different questions the minute we hang up the phone, just feel free to email. I'll get right on it. The revised deadline is it's for tomorrow, end of day tomorrow, so get your pitches in. They're looking solid, but, I definitely need more because I don't have one. If I were going to do, say, a podcast for each of these storylines, I would need more sources for each of them. So still plenty of opportunity here, even though I like what I see already. But it's just a start. So thanks, everyone. Thanks for being patient.
I got
really
one
do.
Quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
For the notes section, do you have a length you'd like there? Do you want, a bunch of bullet points, additional references? What are you looking for in there?
So if you go through the form, it's startup's name, what story you'd like to pitch, who's your source, and then now write your lead hook. I want you to write the kind of lead that would get an editor to get buy into your story.
The additional comment section below.
Oh, that's just whatever else. That's open-ended. Yeah, you might have a report you want to send me to. I have no ideas for that. That is just, that's anything. Even I had somebody put in the additional comments. I'll keep it anonymous so this person doesn't feel like I'm throwing the person under the bus. But this is a really challenging contest, giving us PR Flex quite a bit of work. Of course I can do what I can to support your efforts. So that's good. Just, yeah, whatever. Talk to me. And don't feel like you have to have anything. But several of them are just NA, So really, yeah, feedback for me, something that just didn't fit but you think I need to know. Yeah, it could be a cool story where you were quoted. Maybe you're remember, audio is a potential outlet for this. So maybe there's an audio recording of your source at a conference. Whatever. Just anything that last little thing. A lot of them are blank, and that's fine too. If you got it all in your pitch, perfect. If you feel like putting something else, great. Maybe you have a white paper that address whatever. Just yeah, that's completely open ended. Okay. Anything else before we wrap up? All right. Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate you being patient with me. I know it can probably be a little frustrating at times when I'm doing things on the fly and stuff, but so far I've enjoyed the process. I'm seeing a lot of good startups, and, especially when I look back to last year, I'm seeing a bunch of startups kind of mature and grow in real time, and it's exciting and it's fun. It definitely definitely cements a few of the decisions I made to do this that in the way I have. I'm enjoying watching the startups grow and overcome some challenges. So, thanks again for sticking with me. Thanks again for all your good submissions. And stay tuned. If you have other questions, just shoot them to me over email, and I'll get back to you as quickly as possible. Thanks, everyone.